This past Thursday at Arlington National Cemetery, a particular group of soldiers performed a particular task that they do each year. They put a flag, an American flag, on every tombstone in Arlington. It's called Flags In. And the people doing it are those who belong to the 3rd Army Infantry Regiment, also known as the Old Guard. The Old Guard is indeed old. It is the oldest actively serving military regiment in the United States Army or United States Armed Forces. It was founded by Congress in 1784. So we're not even talking about the Constitution. This happened 3 years before the Constitution was written, under the Articles of Confederation. And one of their tasks always is to put those flags in. Why do they do that? I mean, what's the purpose? The people in the cemetery whose remains are left are, of course, unaware. So they must be doing it for some other reason and for some other audience. The reason is to remember. The audience is you. I was reading, I got through about the first 50 pages of a book that I think is going to be really interesting reading. It's called Sacred Duty. And it's written by Tom Cotton. Tom is now a United States Senator from Arkansas. But he also spent time, did his tour of duty in Afghanistan as a result of 9/11. And his tour also included being part of the Old Guard for a while. And so he's talking about all of this. It's called a Sacred Duty, a Soldier's Tour at Arlington National Cemetery, because that is where the Old Guard is basically located. Now, the Old Guard is not just a ceremonial guard. On September 11, 2001, it was the Old Guard who participated almost faster than anybody else did because they were closest. Arlington, at its closest point, was only about 200 yards away from where the one plane hit the Pentagon back in 2001. So they were pretty much on the spot. And they had a great deal to do and accomplished it, as always, well. The idea of the Old Guard, whose job it is to oversee remembrance at Arlington National Cemetery and to assist in taking those who have fallen back to their final resting place, wherever that may be. The whole point of that, according to Tom, is that we aim to provide the family and mourners with a final, indelible image of honor for their loved one. A final, indelible image of honor. It may interest you to know, did me, that an important step in that process occurs very close to us at Dover Air Force Base. Dover is where all the fallen soldiers come, every one of them. And then from there they go to wherever it is they are going to finally rest, which is up to the discretion of the family, which often means, though, going to Arlington in a special section of the cemetery called Section 60. But before they get there, they arrive at the Air Force Base. And there is something that occurs there that I find fascinating. It's called a dignified transfer. I was reading and reading and reading to figure out what this dignified transfer was. And I realized that it was the transfer of the casket from the plane or whatever other transport was used, to whatever vehicle was going to take the fallen soldier home. Simply, that transfer from the airplane to a car or to a train or wherever it was going, that transfer, it's called a dignified transfer. And I was thinking about that, and it caught my attention because it's such a simple thing. So simple, in fact, that they don't even want to call it any kind of ceremony because they don't want to require people to attend, you know, family and friends and that sort of thing, because they're just going from the plane to whatever vehicle is going to take them to the cemetery where they will at last rest. But the army takes it seriously. So seriously that if the secretary of the army is in town, he's there for that dignified transfer. Some high-ranking official in the army is always there, without fail. Now, that's pretty special. Dover is the military's largest and busiest freight terminal, but it is also most famous as the port of entry for the fallen. It opened in 1955, and more than 30,000 remains have passed through it. It is where they are provided with their final uniform. It is where they are provided with transport that will take them to wherever they're going. The care that is taken is immense and particular. They are very careful. And in doing this, they send a strong message. Wherever you go, you will be accompanied with honors from the place of your death to the place of burial. He tells the story of a helicopter that was shot down. I think it was in Somalia, which is where the movie Black Hawk Down came from, if you remember that movie. And how just demoralizing that movie was to watch how the fallen soldiers there were treated. They were dragged through the streets by the Somali commanders. Well, that didn't happen here because one of the soldiers coming in the other helicopter, jumped out of the helicopter 20 feet up, landed with a pistol, and fended off all comers until they could get the bodies out. And then they were brought home. Wherever you go, you will be accompanied with honors. The honor is in the detail. The honor is in the attention paid. The honor is in the care taken. And as Tom says, there is not one moment from the time the soldier dies to the time the soldier is buried when that soldier is alone. At each stage, from death to the funeral back home, no fallen soldier is alone. Another soldier or other service member is always in close proximity. It's always interesting trying to figure out how to do a sermon for Memorial Day, because Memorial Day is not a religious holiday, per se. But remembrance is biblical. And the Old Guard can instruct us here on how to remember your fellow soldiers. Too often, people are out of sight, out of mind with us. And we forget them as though they were unimportant. But not here. And because they are not forgotten, a level of trust is built that I am not alone, that someone will be with me, that I am part of a team that is greater than I am. And building that trust allows the army to function as it should. The same is true of the church. When we accompany one another with honors, even down to the smallest dignified transfer. We build trust in one another that we are not alone, that we matter. This is powerful stuff. So we turn to a powerful passage here. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is one of those immense passages that it would take weeks and weeks and weeks to talk about sufficiently. But what I want to talk about with this is not the list of names. Although I will note that what the author of Hebrews basically does here is call the roll, as though he were a military commander assessing his regiment. He calls the roll from Esau to Noah to Abraham to David. And then he finally says, I give up. Time would fail me to tell you all of these things. So then he starts just, instead of talking at length about what they did, he's been giving many biographies, but at this, now he just says, I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. He talks about what they did. And he also talks about others, the ones we read about, the ones we read at the beginning of the service about, the ones who were tortured and refused to be released that they might gain a better resurrection. By the way, better resurrection simply means, as the author of Hebrews says constantly in his book, that Christ is better. And so everything he does is better. And what he provides is a better resurrection because it's a resurrection through him. So they faced years and flogging. They were chained and put in prison and so forth. And finally in verse 38 he says, the world was not worthy of them. And then he says some other things that are important to talk about, but I just wanted to point that out, that this is an immense passage. So we will talk about just one thing, the idea of honor, the idea of being commended for their faith. They were honored for their faith. Many things were promised these men and women, but freedom from sacrifice was not promised, and they suffered. Many things are promised those who serve in our armed forces, but freedom from suffering is not one of theirs promises either. They often suffer as well. Their sacrifice often is what defines them. But from the time they are first on a roll, being called by name in whatever place they're going through boot camp, to the very last time, it's even called the last roll call, when their name is repeated three times. For example, there was a corporal whose name was Buckley that Tom Cotton knew. And he was there when they concluded with the last roll call. Corporal Buckley. Corporal Ryan Buckley. Corporal Ryan J. Buckley. And on the third time, with no answer, his name was symbolically removed, signifying the second platoon's loss. From our first roll call to our last, we can live a life accompanied with honors. And we can treat others in the same fashion. We can remember the sacrifice. We can say that it is not in vain. We can say you are not alone. We can say, therefore, fight on. And fight well. You see, every Sunday is Memorial Day, in a way. where we once again remember the mighty deeds of the past, and we use them to inform how we are to conduct ourselves today, and we await with the greatest of hopes a glorious future. We are, and this is from last year's message, we are the Lord's remembrancers. The Lord's remembrancers. We are the ones who recall the mighty deeds. For who will remember if we do not? Who will honor our fallen, our fighters, our fellow soldiers, if we do not? The army gets this. The army honors its own, takes the greatest of care, clips the last loose string on that uniform, makes sure that if they are supposed to be made presentable for some sort of viewing, that they are as close as possible to the way they looked in life. Now God will remember us. God never forgets. And that's a source of great comfort. I do not minimize that. But aren't we supposed to be following Him? And if we are following Him, then part of that is that we need to remember, too. As we remember, so we are remembered. And we realize that we do not walk through whatever great trouble we face by ourselves. As the Lord said through David in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." Isn't that encouraging? Isn't it good to know that you are not forgotten? No, out of mind, I'm sorry, out of sight, out of mind for us. Because we are never out of sight by faith. Faith is seeing. It's a way of seeing without physically seeing. It's a way of seeing what cannot be seen otherwise. But it is a way of seeing, nevertheless. There is a sense in which we are the old guard. We are the remembrancers. We are the ones who keep the memories. We are the ones who keep the traditions. We are the ones who keep the ancient words that still ring true. We keep them alive. We keep them significant. As long as we remember them, this happens. So every Sunday is Memorial Day, and on Sundays, you are remembered. The old guard remembers and honors those in their care through their attention and their appreciation and their accompaniment. They are accompanied with honors because the accompaniment is an honor. To have someone whose job it is, whose task it is to perform, to simply be there with you until your remains are put where they are finally going to rest, that entire time, is a sign of honor. This is how God treats you, even if others don't. His eyes are always on you. He says that if you follow me, it will be pleasing to me. So he shows appreciation. As it said in Hebrews 11, they were commended. Well, commended by who? Clearly by God. Even though none of them received what had been promised. They did not get the complete commendation yet, but they have still been appreciated. And as I've already said, God walks with you. And this is how we should treat each other, as the team, as the family that we are. I see increasingly on sports teams, shirts, you know, the pullovers like for a basketball team and warm-up jackets for baseball, especially on the college level, I see some version of family. And that's because you're trying to tap into something very strong. Family's there for you. If it's any kind of family at all, they're there. They may not know what to do. They may not have the slightest clue how to help you. But they're there. And they'll listen. And they'll give you what advice they can. And they're there because they appreciate you. And they have no intention of going anywhere. You have their full attention. And they do that, all of that, for a lesser prize. Because in God's family, the prize is the presence of God Himself, the greatest thing of all. When we do this, when we sacrifice by giving others our attention, our appreciation, and our accompaniment, we walk better ourselves. And again, I want you to remember, better is a big word in Hebrews. The author of Hebrews is always saying, yeah, I know you think, Jewish audience of mine, that you have the best, but there's better because there's Christ. Christ is a better sacrifice. Christ is a better high priest. You have a better place that you'll be in if you're with Him. And keeps talking about better throughout. And because that's true, you can run with patience. Chapter 12, verse 1. You can run with patience or perseverance, as the NIV says, the race marked out for us. We fight better. We run better. We live better. We cannot afford to forget that we are in a war. Every bit as important, really more. Every bit as costly, even more. And we must fight in the best way we can. And when you do that, you will be remembered. And you don't have to wait until you fall. You don't have to wait until you die. You can set an example right now of grace and goodness. You can set an example right now of what it means to care, what it means to love one another. And it all comes back to simple remembering and acting accordingly. And you are further remembered by the fact that you do not run this race alone. You really don't. It may seem as though you're alone. It may seem as though nobody's paying attention. It may seem as though nobody really thinks that what you're doing is very important, but that's not true. As the author of Hebrews says, in that same verse I just read for you, I only read the last part, I didn't read the first. The first part is, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In other words, what Paul is saying here, I want you to grasp this. Abraham is paying attention to your race. He's in the crowd. David is paying attention to your race. Joseph is paying attention to your race. And they're cheering you on. It's as though you're in a stadium running a race. And they're surrounding you, encouraging you, saying, you can do this. I did. You can. I lived by faith. So can you. So you are remembered. They have not forgotten you. On Sundays, those gone before are also remembered. Now, I'm a history major, and I know the importance of knowing where you come from. And it seems to me like our society is moving a bit in that direction because you see all these ancestry kits getting sold and these DNA things, and you know, they're very big deal. People want to know, you know, where I've been, you know, what makes me me, you know, where have I, my ancestors been all over the world. History is important. So important that those who write the textbooks control the memories and frame the opinions of those who are not there, which is a very dangerous thing, by the way, if they happen to be telling lies in their books. And who will correct those lies if we do not? We who do remember. We who were there. We who know how it really went. So that's something to think about, but not now. Hebrew 11 recasts the Old Testament in terms of faith. It's not how the people who were living in the Old Testament exactly saw it, but it is how they were living it. Abraham, well, his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. So, although many in the Old Testament thought it was a matter of law, for Abraham it was a matter of saying, well, actually, Abraham didn't even say anything, did he? God said, go, and Abraham went. Just went. And so we see that the author of Hebrews is honoring the roll call. And he's doing so in the right way. He's paying attention to those who have gone before. He's showing appreciation for those who have gone before. And as though he is walking with them and asking us to do the same, to walk in the same paths, these ancient paths. We need to better remember this. We need to do that on Sunday, and we need to do it through the week. It is why we have Sunday messages. It is why we sing songs on Sunday to remember the great truths of the faith. In fact, several of the songs today talked about you are not alone in varying ways. On Sundays and on other days of the week is when we study, is when we pray, that we honor the one who made it all possible. And our example helps others to follow. We honor those who have gone before, because when we forget, it doesn't change the truth, but it does hurt us. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about Elijah, and I think many of us realized, hey, I don't know a whole lot about Elijah. And Elijah's like one of the most important ones in the book. He's in that great cloud of witnesses too. I don't know if he had any space in Hebrews 11, but he could have. It's a big deal. Maybe we should talk some more about Elijah in the weeks to come. Then there's the great story. I mean, it's sad, but it's so instructive. In 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, under King Josiah, when they're renovating the temple, and they discover a book. And the priest knows what book it is. It's the book of the law of the Lord. They had managed to forget it. They had neglected it for so long, they did not even know where it was. And in fact, not all of them knew what it was, because the messenger the priest sent to king said, we found this book. Priest says it's important. So easy it is to forget what's going on before. I want to read you a quote, because verse 39 in chapter 11 says that they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. In other words, there is some way in which all of these heroes of faith needed us to get on board before everything would be complete. And the quote comes from John Chrysostom, a tremendous preacher from the 600s that you probably don't know. But he's, in his day, he was a great, great, great preacher. And this is what he said. Do you also consider what a thing it is and how great that Abraham should be sitting and the Apostle Paul waiting till you have been perfected, so that they then may be able to receive their reward. For the Savior has told them before that, unless we are also present, he will not give it to them. In order that they might not seem to have the advantage over us in being crowned before us, God appointed one time of crowning for all. In so doing, God did not wrong them. He honored us. Consider that. And then, on Sunday, Jesus is remembered. Above all, when we accompany with honors each other, we accompany Jesus with honors as well. We praise his name. We trust him. And whether you're talking about the army fighting the physical wars or the army fighting the spiritual wars, trust is so important. In West Point, my wife was showing me this. She got a book called The Character Carved in Stone, which I have not read. I'll just show it to you. Character Carved in Stone. What it has to do is the 12 core virtues of West Point. They have 12 benches in one of the most important parts of West Point. And on those 12 benches is a word that describes a core virtue. And one of those 12 is trust. So the people at West Point get it. Trust matters. They need to be able to trust. They need to be able to trust one another. They need to be able to trust their commanding officers. We need to be able to trust each other. We need to be able to trust our commanding officer. Isn't that how we fight better? Isn't that how we fight more effectively? After all, it was Jesus' sacrifice that created this team, this fighting force for good called the church. Now, you may not have ever seen yourself as a fighting force for good, but I assure you God sees you that way. You are a fighting force for good, and he wants you to fight, to fight hard, to fight the good fight, as Paul put it, of faith. Hebrews 12 uses remembrance to encourage us. We are the remembrancers who show attention to Jesus, appreciate Jesus, and we accompany him. We walk where he walks. When you look to him, and that's what it says to do in chapter 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When you look to him and honor him with praise, remembering all he has done, all he is doing, and all he will do, especially on Sunday morning, but every other morning too, and every other afternoon, and every other evening. He is the one that makes it all complete. Abraham, Paul, they're waiting for him to make everything complete, and he is waiting for us. Often we talk about remembering as a way to honor. And that's true. But it's also true that we honor in order to remember. We had the opportunity last night, Susan and I did, to go to a block party. Our little neck of the woods, our cul-de-sac, has had two block parties in 30 years. We've been in our house for 30 years. We are original owners. There are several other people on the block who are original owners, but a few of them are leaving. Very shortly, in fact, one's leaving next week. So we had a block party. Our previous block party was about 15 years ago, so I guess once every 15 years we do this sort of thing. And, there were more, of course, the original owners then and all that, and it was a special time. Some have died since then. They're gone. But we had our block party, and the lady who's leaving next week got up and made a little speech, and it was really sweet. I never knew we were that good a block. I didn't know we were that caring a group until I heard her talk, because as far as she was concerned, we were aces. And I guess that's a good way to leave, isn't it? I had the opportunity, they all know I'm a minister. I had the opportunity to put my hand on the shoulders of each of the people who are leaving and just say, Lord's blessings on you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, may you walk with Him. Just a moment. A dignified transfer, if you will. Encouraging them to walk with Christ. Some of them already do. What happens to the others, Lord knows. But because we were able to honor, we were able to remember all the good things over 30 years and not worry as much about things that we didn't like. This Memorial Day, and remember, every Sunday is Memorial Day too. Make a dignified transfer. Some small move of honor. Some, even a brief time of attention, of appreciation, and particularly of accompaniment, walking with not only Christ, but with someone else. Maybe someone who's going through a really tough time right now. You know who that would be in your sphere of influence. Or maybe you're the one that needs somebody to walk by. Maybe still, though, you need to take the initiative because they're not sure whether they should trouble you. They're not sure whether they're getting in your way somehow. But find a way. Remember, in order to find honor. Our country knows how to do this. I mean, at least those who are charged with this task. I think our churches need to learn this as well. So make that small, dignified transfer. And in so doing, remember Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we could come to you and listen to these things and consider this passage of Scripture and understand the importance of honor and remembrance and find a way to put that into practice in our own lives. Surely there is someone we know who needs us to come alongside them and remember them, remember their pain, remember their confusion, remember their difficulty, the struggle. Or there's someone else who just needs us to remember with them earlier times that were really good and find hope and comfort today in them, encouragement to do the right thing today as well. Father, may this day be more than just a day that we relax. That's good. But may it also be a day that we remember. And maybe then, this actual day, this date, may be a day that we will later remember. Show us how to make dignified transfers each day. In your name we pray. Amen.